eternal plan that we might all be one. Jesus prayed to his Father, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also might be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus died on the tree for you and for me, that we might all be one. It is good to be back with you this evening. Good to see each of you with us this evening. We invite you to turn to John chapter 12. The scripture that was read was verses 1 and 2, and then verses 9 through 11. We want to talk to you from this passage this evening, which is a passage that is familiar to most of us, if not all of us. We immediately recognize some very familiar characters in this particular contextual setting. We want to focus primarily on the man named Lazarus. Lazarus. And we want to ask one primary question that I believe is relevant and I believe is germane to each of us as devotees of Jesus Christ our Lord and members of his body. The question that I want to raise for your thoughtful consideration and meaningful contemplation is, are you another Lazarus? Are you another Lazarus? And you will understand the question much more clearly as we examine the verses in the selected text from which our lesson has come. John 12, 1 and 2. We look at the site, you know, where this took place. We look at the Savior, and we look at the subject. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. That was the site. That's where this took place, Bethany. And we're familiar with Bethany, which was in close proximity to Jerusalem. Jesus was the major subject. Lazarus was the next most significant subject. Bethany was the place where Lazarus, in the previous chapter, which had been dead, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Lazarus was an object of curiosity. This was a man that had been dead, and he had been dead not just for a few hours, but he had been dead for 4 long days. But Jesus, by his almighty power, was successful in calling him back from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. He was the subject that was raised. Jesus was the Savior that raised him from the dead. And verse 2 lets us know that there they made him a supper. Now the question is raised in this context, who is the him that is spoken of in this context? Are they saying that they made Lazarus a supper? Or is John saying they made Jesus a supper? There they made him a supper. In the previous verse, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he, now the he is clearly referring to Christ, whom he, that is Jesus, raised from the dead. Then verse 2, there they made him, not Lazarus, but they made him, Jesus, a supper. And we find Martha in a familiar role. Sometimes we criticize Sister Martha, but I'd like to commend her because she had a spirit of service. She was always willing to serve. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So this makes it even clearer that the him that is mentioned in the first part of verse 2 and the him which is mentioned in the last part of verse 2 gives reference to Jesus. Lazarus was one of them. He was a guest that sat at the table with him, that is, with Jesus. And Martha, as we've indicated, served. Lazarus was what I like to call the sensation. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. What he? Contextually, the he seems to definitively be referring to Lazarus in the verse that we just read, verse number 2. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus's sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So this was a sensation. Lazarus was a sensational presence because here is a man who had been dead, but he is now alive. He was a sensational subject. And a lot of folk were there because they wanted to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Then we have some schemers who were present. The chief priests consulted. They got together. They put their heads together. They got together that they might put Lazarus also to death. You know, it's interesting and it's ironic. Here's a man who had died. They knew he died. And now Jesus raised him from the dead. But they want to now kill him. They want to now put him to death. Jesus has already raised him from the dead. He died once before due to illness, and Jesus raised him, and they wanted to put him back to death. And you might ask the question, why did they want to put him back to death? That was one reason. And this leads to our question, are you another Lazarus? They wanted to put Lazarus also to death. We want to get rid of him. He's strong evidence. He verifies the power and the genuineness of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. These Jews would stop at nothing that they might defeat Jesus. They wanted to destroy the evidence of Jesus's power. Why? Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. For the chief priests, for them, it was the last straw. They said, we got to do something about this. And so we are going to put Lazarus also to death. I don't know if they succeeded. The Bible doesn't say whether they succeeded or not, but they developed a new plan, a new scheme. And it's interesting, since apparently they didn't put Lazarus to death, they schemed that they might put Jesus to death. Jesus was the one responsible for raising Lazarus from the dead. And because Jesus raised him from the dead, because Lazarus had been raised from the dead, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now my question, are you another Lazarus, is designed to have you to think about the influence that you have on others, is designed to cause you to think about the number of people who have believed on Jesus and have experienced salvation by reason of you. Are you another Lazarus? Do people become Christians, followers of Jesus, because of you, because of the new life that you live in Christ, because of your behavior pattern? All of us who are Christians used to be dead in trespasses and sins, but now we have been made alive in Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You say, well, Lazarus was really dead. Well, you were really dead spiritually. But now that you have obeyed the gospel and somebody urged you, somebody encouraged you, somebody influenced you to become a Christian, very rarely if you'll ever find somebody who became a Christian who was not influenced by somebody else. How many people have you influenced to become Christians, to go away and believe on Jesus? Many of the Jews, we don't know how many, but many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus by reason of Lazarus. I trust that in the days and weeks and months and years to come, if it's not already the case, that many of your friends and family members and people in our community will believe on Jesus and become New Testament Christians by reason of you and your influence and your efforts to reach them with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our gospel meeting is coming up. It's not far away. We have some flyers on the table in the lobby. I'd like for you to get some. We're going to have some more. But I'd like for you to get some and give them to some of your friends and some of your family and encourage them, invite them to come and to be a part of the family of God, to come and to experience salvation. It is very easy for us to become lackadaisical or to remain lackadaisical and not have very much energy, not very much enthusiasm, not very much interest in reaching the lost with the gospel. We can be pretty blasé about it. We hear this all of the time. We're familiar with the gospel. We are members of the body, and we obeyed it years ago. And really, we don't have much zeal, much enthusiasm about saving it. I mean, about sharing it so that we can save others. Doesn't really mean that much to us. They say familiarity breeds contempt, and maybe, unfortunately, that is true with reference to me and to you when it comes to sharing the gospel of Christ. But I'd like for us to put forth a real, genuine effort to reach out to others, to invite others. We speak of the friend plan, friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Reach out to those persons. And let's commit ourselves, first of all, and prerequisitely, to being here at each session of the gospel meeting. I'm wanting to emphasize that. Because if you don't plan to come, if you don't commit yourself to come, very unlikely will anybody whom you invite, if you invite anybody, to come. Brother William Jones will be here. Pray for him. Pray that things will go well with him. Pray that God will bless him to deliver good, powerful, penetrating messages when he comes. He's looking forward to being here with us. He'll be here starting Sunday, June 7th, the very first Sunday of June, continuing through Friday, the 12th. Let's plan to bring a lot of folk to hear what he has to say, to hear the gospel message of salvation. Let's do whatever we can to reap a bountiful harvest of souls. Again, I ask, are you another Lazarus? If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian yourself, if you're not a member of the body, this is a good time to become a member of the body. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for all of us. And when the invitational call is sent forth, it is directed toward those